B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Slot of the Flyer zone. Pastrnak with a steal. Far point. Carlo trying to track it down. Two on one the other way. Over the line, left side come the Flyers. It's fired. They score. Wired top shelf. That was Scott Laughton. 4-1 Flyers.
Every goal has been top shelf here today.
Hey, happy Monday. Everybody's on board.
I guess we're back.
Everybody's here.
Hardy's here.
Hardy's here.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Hardy.
Hi, Kane. Hello.
Hardy.
This is neat.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
How's the vacay? Good?
Oh, it's good. Huh?
Recharge those batteries?
Oh, yeah, right? A little battery recharge. A little unintended, unrequested visit from the Bertrand boys for one day of the vacation.
Not wrong with that.
You loved it. You loved every minute of it.
That's right. My kids did. My wife did.
Did they dance for you?
I don't know what they did. I went over. I said hello. I made my appearance, and then
kids got rhythm, man.
I kind of went off and kind of did my own thing.
All right. Well, we're all here. Jim, T-Bone, whole crew. You just heard the Bruins highlight from yesterday. Hey, Boston, how's your hockey team look? Holy crap.
It's only one game, Beetle.
Well, here's the thing. I said on Friday I would not hold exhibition games against anybody.
We did that.
Against the Celtics or the Bruins. I would not do it. And then the Bruins played the way that they did, and I'm starting to hold the exhibition game against them. It's a trend now.
So Jaffe
did. Now it's a trend.
Jaffe said the same thing in that first intermission. We talked about this. He goes, hey, they don't care about the score. Here's where I will care about it. If they come out and look the way they did in the exhibition game, when the games count.
Now I care.
Which they started to.
You know that's a playoff game technically yesterday?
Yeah.
Did they look like they played like a playoff team?
That would be one of the lowest seeded teams they would potentially play, that team.
Did they play with urgency yesterday?
Where's our starting goalie?
Well, he couldn't go yesterday.
Why not?
He's sick. With what? Who knows? What?
I'm with Joe Murray on this. I heard him all morning.
What did he say?
He's like, every time you think you need a game and you could depend on somebody, your offensive threat is what? It's Pastrnak. He told around all preseason, right? Goofed off a little bit or maybe didn't follow protocols. He wasn't ready to go from the get-go. And it's Rask. Hockey, your wins are predicated on the effort by your goalie. Did you hear Bob Beerzer? Oh, yeah, everything goes in top shelf here with this guy. Gee, I wonder if Halak's in net next time. Wonder where the team's going to shoot. Probably top shelf. Up high. Shoot up top. He can't stop it. Where the hell's your starting goalie? Where the hell's your Vezina guy?
He's sick.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You're the wrong guy to be saying this. I'm going to tell you why.
Why?
You are the guy that last year and again this year has said, I can't wait until we get to the playoffs to see if they put Halak in net break it up with Tuukka.
And Halak looked pretty damn good Friday night. So that's why maybe, okay, here's his chance.
Yeah.
And he let it go down his leg.
You were rooting. You didn't have any help.
Been rooting for Halak to get in net.
I like the underdog. I got an underdog instinct in me.
You like backups.
I like backups.
In important games.
Guys get stiffed.
You've been rooting for important games for Halak.
Yeah.
You got it yesterday.
Yeah, that's why I like Stidham.
How'd he look?
Give me the backup.
No, he didn't look good. Nobody looked good. But you know what?
It's one game after
a restart. And Marchand had said that you can expect things to be sloppy.
Yeah.
We're going to be sloppy. The ice is going to be sloppy.
Sure,
it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
So everybody else seems to be playing better, right? No. Other teams have been sloppy, too. Now,
Flyers look pretty good.
Not to the degree that the Bruins
Columbus
have been.
The
but the talent is still there. They've still got legit goal scorers on this team. They have legit offensive weapons. And once they get their legs and lungs and their rhythm back a little bit, I think they're going to be fine. I don't think they're going to get blown out or essentially skated off the ice in the first period for the remainder of their games. I just don't. They've got too much talent. They've got too much in terms of veteran experience on that team. And they'll figure it out. They'll gel a little bit. But they did not come out looking like they had not missed a beat, for sure.
Cool. No, they definitely don't look like they are in, you know, rhythm right now.
How's that coach after the game?
Well, he said that they're in summer hockey mode. He said they're in summer hockey mode. They're trying to
get your head out of your ass mode right now.
Pretty much. I mean, listen.
What is that?
I love that he calls it like he sees it.
It's summer hockey mode. Like, I get what he said. Like, they're out there doing, you know, skills in the summertime. No, that's a playoff game yesterday. I know it's not really a playoff game. I don't really look at it as a playoff game, but I think you have to bring some sort of intensity to it. It's not just a regular season game.
No.
And I know it's a hard transition to go from no games for months on end to playing an exhibition to having a count. But that, to me, yesterday was an alarming performance by the Bruins. Who's their best line yesterday?
Oh.
Coyle line?
Oh.
Third line?
That's who I'd give it to.
I mean, how many years are you going to go through trying to get David Krejci going, mixing up guys with him, too? Like, where the hell's he? Everybody likes to pin it on Marchand or Pasternak. Krejci's making a nice chump of change. This is playoffs, right? Right? Where really he's supposed to shine and elevate his game. Because that's what we've been told over the years. Like, when the lights are its brightest, David Krejci will be there. He will skate. Yeah. Where's your scoring? That'd be nice to help out the goalie, right?
Listen to you, though. Where's your scoring for one game? Where's your scoring for one game?
Well, the other night, too. I know, but we're not counting that one technically.
Are you counting the other night? You didn't even watch the other night.
I watched the other night.
You didn't even watch yesterday. It's first game back. I don't blame you.
I watched third periods yesterday at a bar at the water club, and everybody was there, and they know I was there, and they know I was watching, because we walked up from
witnesses.
The dock.
I watched
you
know the entire period.
Yeah. You know what we did? We walked up from the dock. We put our stuff in front of the water
in a
club.
Game. Yeah, but I watched a full one.
And everybody goes, what the hell happened? What the F? You saw the score 4-1. Like, what the F happened?
So is it all of those things that the Bruins were concerned about? We heard about we're older. We're going to take a little bit more time to get up and running. The younger guys have the advantage.
Oh, Char gets that nod.
Then we heard, and by the way, how does Char look? He does look like he needs a little more time to get up and going.
He'll figure it out, though, right? That's what we keep saying. He'll figure it out.
I mean, he will figure it out.
But that to me could be legitimate. Right? You know what? They're a little bit of an older team. It's going to take them longer to go on. But that, when we brought that up the first time, so what did we hear from the Bruins? No, that's an excuse. No excuses for this team. Yeah. All right.
Well, I asked you about Columbus.
I think it's real.
Is that a bigger team? Like, I think they physically look bigger than the Bruins, and they got pushed around. And they got out-physicaled again yesterday.
And then the second complaint was the ice was going to suck. Right? No, it's going to be bad ice. Well, everyone has to play on the bad ice.
Everyone plays on the bad ice, and everybody has had the same layoff, and I get all that, but stop calling it a playoff game. It's not a playoff game.
An important regular season game.
It's not even that. What difference does it make? You're already in. You're in the playoffs. And what else did we talk about? It doesn't really matter in terms of seeding. You don't even know what you should wish for until you see these teams.
Okay, so let me ask you this then.
Everything's just freaking weird.
At what
right
point
now, okay?
will you become concerned about the team? How many games will it take?
If they get four games in and they look like they can't get any scoring, much less secondary scoring, and it's still this back and forth between Rask and Halak, and neither one of them looks very good, and other teams, most importantly, other teams just look much better than you four games in, then I will be right on board with you. But after a preseason game, the first game that they've played since March, since literally winter,
we're at
the end of we're talking about going back to school. It was winter the last time they played.
That's the problem. That's the problem. The layoff. It is. That's the problem, and I think it's going in their heads too.
So after one preseason and one regular season game against a decent team,
My problem is, Hardy, they don't have that kind of time. Four games in, that means they will have sucked in all three round robin games and the first game they play in the playoffs. And that's when you start to get concerned?
Yes.
I'd get concerned a little earlier than that.
No.
We don't have the time. The Bruins don't have
everything,
the time.
Everything is
There's
odd.
No time.
You got NBA people living in a bubble. You got head coaches, starting quarterbacks getting COVID. You got people skating after you go to the beach on a 92-degree day, and you come back and you're trying to watch hockey. Everything is weird right now.
We've been sitting around for months.
I don't blame these guys. Wait. If they were halted, they were the best team in hockey, everything stopped, you're in a five-month freaking layoff, oh yeah, we're going to put you up north, you can go up there and ramp it up. It might take them a couple games.
I'm telling you, this is why they had that long-ass training camp before they ever even went up to Canada. Like, they had plenty of time.
They really didn't,
get out
though.
There
not everybody
skate.
Was they, here. Well, there were people overseas. There were people who weren't even available. There were people who decided to go out to dinner and expose themselves. Look, they had all kinds of issues that they had to deal with.
Flashers?
They couldn't get... No, not that type of exposure. Look, there were people who were unfit to participate. They didn't have a long-ass training camp. They had a screwed-up camp and a screwed-up summer and a screwed-up year, and they screwed up the first exhibition game, and they screwed up their first round robin game. Calm down. They're going to be okay. I don't know if they're going to be great. I don't know if they're going to win the whole damn thing, but they're going to be a damn sight better than a 4-1 barely show up effort like we saw yesterday. They will be better than that.
I hope you're right.
I am right.
You don't know that you're right.
I know that I'm
There's
right.
There's no way for you to know that you are right.
The tides will flow. The sun will rise. The Bruins will play better hockey than what we saw yesterday.
He's refreshed. He's a week off.
He's like Howard, Beetle. He's the taller seat. He's right.
He's refreshed. I feel like I'm being talked down to over there. That's what you're right. I'm like, what does this feel like? This is Colin Coward's set.
There is a physical difference.
Where's the woman
difference?
Sitting next to you on the couch to sort of tee up on some things? You
Letterman,
talk down to
Letterman did that too. Letterman always had the high chair.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Your reaction to the Bruins looking like a hot mess yesterday. We're talking about that to start the day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We were told last night that he would be unavailable, so we let Yarrow know, and then it was going to be a day-to-day thing. So we expect and hope that he'll be back in the net Wednesday. Let's see if he's on the ice tomorrow. I'll probably give you a better idea then how he's feeling, and we'll go from there.
Is there one of these things with Tuukka Rask, too? I
yes.
know what you're saying.
Yes.
But it just feels like...
It's not just yesterday.
It feels like there are...
Accountability. What did Belichick say?
He has issues with illness at inopportune times. Is that a good way to describe that?
Right. Yep.
He has illness problems at inopportune times.
He gets inconveniently sick.
See, people forget about the Finland one.
Oh, no. I don't think people forget about the Finland one at all back in 2014.
It's multiple.
No, I'm pretty sure that one's brought up pretty regularly. Don't forget 2016 with the did he go to Buff's Pub, right? I mean, this has happened
Answer
before.
Answer yes.
I mean, it's not new.
It's not a big place.
But I do think things might be a little different now. When you hear a player get sick...
You got to treat it differently. I understand that.
You're like, wait, whoa. What's he sick from?
Well, you look at the COVID stuff. You have 17 symptoms.
He's in a bubble. First of all, he's in a bubble.
Yes.
It's not like
that.
He went anywhere.
I know that.
And he's deemed unfit to play. And I guess that's what they use for everybody right now.
Yes.
But when you hear unfit to play, you start thinking, oh, no, did he get sick? Did he get COVID? That's where my mind went yesterday.
I didn't think that. I thought, okay, maybe... He doesn't feel well, and they need to be sure that we get him a test.
There's also that, too.
He has one negative, but maybe two negatives. We need two negatives
for
before
example,
we put him back out there.
For example, in an office environment now, I know it's completely different than professional athletes, but if you get sick in any way, shape, or form, that's it. They tell you to stay home.
Yeah.
Do not come to work. You're not allowed to come back to work.
Don't ever say you have a sore throat in your text chain.
Right. You've got to stay home for either X amount of time, or you've got to go get a test. And by the way, that was the right call to keep your ass home when that happened.
When this first happened, I laughed at it.
In hindsight?
They did the right thing. Yeah.
it seemed, it was like, okay, we might be overreacting, but let's play it on the safe side. Now we know that, hey, I've come down with a sore throat. Yeah, no, you're staying home.
Yeah.
Like, you need to figure out what it is.
I thought it was pure idiocy at the time. Yeah.
That's been a pretty common symptom from what I hear.
What, for COVID people?
Yeah,
sore throat?
That's been one of the things.
But it's like Stafford and...
It's come up a few times.
Matt Stafford and Doug Peterson, asymptomatic. They don't even know they had it, but they got it. Like, that's the worst part of this thing.
It's the people without that carry a doubt.
We have no clue the number of people that have carried it or transmitted it. And you just don't know because you never felt well. I mean, you didn't feel poorly to where you would go and get a test. So that's what we got to deal with here as we re-enter, you know, bringing people together in groups, especially in sports.
617-779-0985. Adam's in Lowell on Tuukka Rask. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. I actually was just so excited that sports was back when I saw Halak on the ice and Rask was out. I was like, I swear to God, if he's missing another game for a bleeping bellyache, I'm going to lose my mind. Then I realized, oh, he probably tested positive. I'm an idiot. But at the same time, I can't help but think that because Tuukka Rask has proven time and time again, he literally and metaphorically doesn't have the stomach to play an important game. Yeah, thanks, guys.
He's had some issues. He's had some issues, like gastrointestinal issues from time to time.
You know a question I never had answered about that?
What's that?
The game that he missed here at the Garden, the Buffs Pub game?
Yeah.
What?
Did he drive himself home? That, to me, speaks volumes about how sick he was.
No, I don't think it does.
I could do that. I could do that with the skids.
It's
I've done it.
It's an important game. Can you put? Are you going to play? See, you would play.
I would play. I would play, and I would run in the bathroom and see. The problem is, he's got to stay on the ice.
You would play even if you shouldn't play. That, and I mean, the fault goes the other way with you.
Have you ever had to pull over and puke on the side of the road while driving?
Yes.
Have you ever had that happen to you?
He did it this morning.
No, I didn't do it today.
When's the last? Have you done it in the last year?
I've had to do that before.
Yes.
Hung over, pull over, and puke on the side of the road because I was going to puke in my car. And that is, you're able to drive yourself. You feel terrible.
You feel terrible, but all you want to do is you're thinking about, I want to get home and get in bed or get on the couch.
You're at the Garden. You're dressed. You're on the ice.
You suck it up.
You're going to play hockey tonight.
You chug Pedialyte.
I don't feel well. How not well do you feel?
I just let it go.
I think I'm going to drive myself home and take a nap. I could never wrap my head around that one.
So driving from, let's say, Boston to some suburb west of town.
Wakefield. Like most of them live up by Wakefield.
I don't think he lives that far away. So let's say he's got a 15-minute drive. Driving yourself 15 minutes is the equivalent of suiting up and playing in an NHL game?
I think if you're
for him,
it was an important game. If he was too sick to play, I would like to think he was too sick to drive himself home.
Jake in Boston's on the line, and the subject line.
He should have more.
I thought we would have more fun this week. Jake in Boston is the fun stuff.
He was okay last week.
No, he's not. He says, I have scoops.
Let's go. Put him on.
Is that what he said, or is that what T-Bone summed it up as? Did he say, I have scoops?
Sometimes T-Bone's descriptions are better than what the caller actually says.
He said he has scoops.
Okay,
he's got scoops, and this is the one and only Jake in Boston.
All
Jake.
Right.
Yeah, before I get into this, one thing on Tuukka. At no point did he have COVID. This is the Buffs pub thing, and you sent this guy into a bubble where they're doing nothing but having access to the mini bar. Do the math there. 2 + 2 = Tuukka getting quote unquote sick. And it's the same thing that happened in Sochi where he went on a 36-hour bender after he beat the Russians. And I saw him at the karaoke bar in Sochi. That was a bubble. That was a close.
Wait a minute. Pause. You were in Sochi?
I was in Sochi. That was a bubble. And I was working that hockey tournament.
Did you stay in a hotel that didn't have doorknobs or a toilet?
We didn't have a shower curtain for the first week and a half. And we didn't have towels.
Jake, what do you do for a living?
Yeah.
You said you were working the tournament. What do you do?
What are you, bull gang member?
If I told you I made a lot of money to do the social stuff, would that surprise you?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what I do.
PR.
I do have scoops, boys. Have scoops. Listen, if you haven't worked in the last 8 months like Steve Belichick hasn't, your wife shouldn't be boasting about daddy coming home from work early like she did last night. Forget building the fort, guys. Your defense just lost 5 key members. And at no point on Friday during that Bill Belichick press call did the Reese's of the world ask about Steve Belichick's wife expecting in November and what's going to happen there. So if Dante Hightower sees that as an important issue and the and everyone's identifying this as a big deal, don't you think it's interesting that the coach is going to have a granddaughter come into the world?
Yeah, I think he knows his kid's going to coach. I think he knows that.
This is my favorite part about Jake. He has an agenda now on that front that he's going to continue to push, which I'm okay with. He's going to keep bringing that one up.
He's going to go Tuca to Belichick.
He wants that question.
He just got more legit in my book.
He wants to answer that. He wants that question answered. If a player feels it's important where they're opting out because they're having a child, should a coach feel the same way? And he's referring to Steve Belichick, according to him. There is another player yesterday who talked about their wife being pregnant who is not opting out. That's James White. Yesterday or Saturday. It was over the weekend. James White's wife is expecting, and he is still going to go play. She's going to, I think, in November was what he said. So there is a difference in opinion among players, too. But did he say Stidham's wife was bragging about daddy coming home early? Is that
was that in the Nantucket Magazine article?
Steve Belichick's wife.
Oh, sorry. I thought he was...
Steve hasn't worked in the last 8 months, his wife's saying he's come home from work.
Where were they?
Well, they were you couldn't be in the building. So she's talking about him being at home, working from home. That's what that is. Mm. Bill was in Nantucket pretty much the entire time, I thought.
Yesterday, though? They couldn't be in the building yesterday?
No. She was talking about the previous 8 months, right?
I thought he was referring to this weekend.
Oh.
That's what I thought he was referring to.
The hell I know.
T-Bone is our social media guy at the Insta. He's big on the Insta. He gives us all the juice.
We have any posts from the weekend?
From Instagram. He's the one that keeps tabs on all of it for us.
I heard the Stidhams have a new pool at their house.
We should hire Jake in Boston, but I don't think we can afford him.
Hardy missed last week's.
Oh, you missed all
renting.
Of last
They're
week.
Moving, but they're renting, not buying.
Yeah.
Who?
The Stidhams.
Pledge.
They're moving to Foxborough.
Oh, that was one of the big announcements. It was the dog, and it was the move.
They got a new dog called Bro.
Right. His name's Bro.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, a couple weeks ago, we got Bro, literally 2 weeks ago, which is one huge life change in itself. But the other life change, we got a house. So we're moving, and not bought, we're renting, obviously. But we are moving to Foxborough, which we're so excited. So the next couple weeks are going to be, or actually, we're not moving till the end of August.
Who gives a crap?
He's going to have such a tougher time with her than he did with Giselle.
Oh, I've already...
This may have been
Jake in Boston.
This is worse.
It may have been Jake who said that she was going to be a problem. I said, how dare you? The gold standard for the problem is Giselle. She's a problem. Obviously, we're not going to buy. Who knows if he can even throw a football yet? But major life change, puppy. We're going to move boxes. And oh, my God. Is it... Can you believe it's August already? It seems like it was just 4th of July, like last weekend, but it was like, hold on, let me think. 1, 2, 3, 4 weekends ago, and now we're going to move? Oh, my God, you guys. Seriously. It's like, but renting? Oh, my God. First and last? Whoever heard of that? Do you even know from security deposits? Because I didn't know. Obviously, we don't feel secure in his position here. Otherwise, we would buy a house, but obviously, we're not going to. Obviously. We're renting, obviously. Seriously, guys. Major life change. Oh, my God. Dun, dun, dun. Manny Petty. I'm going to get one.
And with that, let's turn it over to Hardy for headlines. When we come back on the
I haven't
other
written
side.
Any copy. I forgot that I had to do headlines.
We're going to talk about the Celtics and their weekend. They came out with a win yesterday. Tight one. They had another tight one on Friday night with the Bucks that they came out on the wrong side of. Refs were a factor in both. We'll get to that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Sports Hub.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaylen Brown on the wing.
Oh,
Tice got hit.
And that could be, look at this, this could be on who? Getting the foul. It could be on Giannis.
It has to be Giannis.
And he could be fouled out of the game. If you do this.
Giannis sets a screen. Or Tice sets
him
a screen.
In the stomach.
And he did. Giannis reached out with the left hand. They had to blow the play down. That's what they're discussing. James Capers, the referee, is pushing Giannis and the Bucks away.
We are doing a possible hostile act.
Get out of the game. You should be out
there
of the
no
game.
No infraction on the play. There's no hostile.
No infraction on the play.
What did he do? What did he double over because he had gas? What happened? No hustle act. Boom! Right there. Hostile act. Guy gets hit in the stomach. What do you call that? A pat on the belly?
You know who needs to clean up their rule book?
NBA?
Yeah. The NBA. They need to clean up the rule book is what they need to do. They need to streamline the rule book.
Sport
is what they
itself,
need to
though.
Do. Because I feel as if people watching the games this weekend were learning new rules as we went along. The Hostile Act, you've probably heard of that. But that was put in play to be able to go back and review plays to make sure that a player didn't do something in the form of an altercation, not a foul.
Yeah, intentionally take a
They don't go back and review fouls. They can go back and look and see if Giannis had intentionally, let's say, punched Tice right in the nuts, right?
Garnett used to do that, right?
He did something that was beyond a typical basketball play.
We all agree it's a foul, but let's see how bad it was.
Well, no.
Was it a hostile act, too?
Well, no, it's not about a foul. It's about, was there something that happened on the floor that the refs missed that was beyond a typical basketball play, a typical foul?
Right.
A foul is a foul, but it's different when you do something beyond just fouling someone in a basketball sense.
Contact.
You punch someone in the face, right? Or you are both down low and you throw an elbow into a guy's rib cage because it's not because it's just a foul, but it's because you're trying to hurt somebody. Now you've got a hostile act on the court and they can go back and review that. What happened on review with Giannis was a foul, should have been called as a foul, but they couldn't call it just the foul. It's obnoxious is what it is. So we took all this time to look at it and you can't do anything about it. What are we doing? Not only that though, this is just typical NBA. Giannis is a protected guy. He's one of the biggest superstars in the game now. He is a protected player. They will go to all possible lengths to keep him in a game.
Yeah.
Crunch time, close game, closing minutes.
Him and LeBron, two biggest guys. Yeah.
Twice he could have fouled out of the game, and twice he did not foul out of the game on Friday night. Is anybody surprised by that? I mean, where's the surprise in that? Marcus Smart was
surprised by the
irate after the game. And I get it.
He should be.
I understand why he's irate. What is he, new to the league? Where have you been, dude?
No, that was egregious.
Where have you been?
Which one do you think was egregious? Because I didn't think I didn't think the Marcus Smart.
He stepped in quick, but he got both feet outside the circle.
He moved. He was still moving while Giannis was in the air. It's split second. You can't tell. You can't tell in real time.
He got set.
And in real time, this is why I hate one of the reasons why I hate replay in certain instances is because in real time, it looked like he was set and Giannis jumped and didn't care that Marcus was there and he drew the charge.
So he was set before the contact.
He was set before the contact.
But he wasn't set before Giannis had left the ground.
Correct.
Yes. Correct.
Which, again, that was sort of a lesson in the rules there. So you've got to be set before the player leaves the ground?
But sometimes,
that's how it was explained on Friday.
But sometimes we overanalyze all this stuff through minutia. To what Hardy said, in real time, that's a charge, baby.
In real time, it's a charge.
Other way, no bucket, going the other way.
Look, there's no one better on the team at drawing to charge than Marcus Smart. I get it. He knows what he's doing. And I would actually defer to Marcus on this if... he said 100% no, that was a charge and they did it. But all he said was, I think we know what's going on there. He didn't defend the play as much as he railed against it going the other way because it was Giannis.
Okay, you slow it down like they're doing right here in NBC Sports Boston, where they slow it down the entire way.
He's still moving his feet.
He steps under him. He cuts him down.
He's still moving his feet while he's in the air. I've seen Marcus Smart draw 100 charges before, and that guy has more guts to draw a charge than anybody. And look at it. He's still shuffling. You can't move.
He's moving.
You can't move.
But Dame in real time looks like he got there and got set. I mean, are we going to do this every
game?
The
egregious part is that Budenholzer can immediately challenge that and know it's going to get overturned because it's Giannis and it's a sixth foul. That's the egregious part of it. That a coach of a team that has a superstar like that knows.
Yeah.
If that's a questionable, if my guy's getting out of the game, I'm challenging it because they're going to find a way to keep him in.
I mean,
but they found a way, and that's not surprising to me.
Twice.
It's not surprising to me.
What a terrible swipe by
Tatum.
There's
doubt about
the
Marcus Smart one. There was no doubt about the Tice one. They didn't need to change anything to keep him in the game on that one. They didn't call it. They just didn't call a foul.
Smart's left foot is moving the entire time.
It's not moving the entire time.
Yeah, but they did call a foul, Beatle.
They called a foul on a different guy.
No,
he stopped moving it as soon as he made contact with
Smart. They didn't call a foul on him.
On Tice. But they did, in essence. They blew the whistle for a reason. They didn't blow the whistle
because
a foul was called.
They blew the whistle because he got hurt. If he didn't react the way he did, they would not have blown the whistle.
I disagree with that.
No way. If Tice does not react the way that he did, that whistle is not being blown. And
so play that should
continues.
Have been called a flop on Tice then. If that's the way they're going to rule that, that should have been called a flop on Tice. They can call a flop, right?
I mean, why is it not?
If nothing happened, why did he react?
Because that's not what they said on review. They didn't say nothing happened.
I know what they said.
They missed the call. They missed the call in real time. They didn't miss it on review. They missed it in real time. And then they couldn't fix it.
I just don't think they actually missed it. I think they blew the whistle for a reason.
They blew the whistle because they saw the way that Tice reacted. Because I don't think Tice was expecting it. And that's why.
So you're believing the referees?
No.
Okay.
Believing them how?
You said you believe that they didn't see it real time.
Oh, they blew it. They didn't see it. Look at where their head was looking. Look at the replay. They missed it. They missed the call. They saw the reaction and thought, oh, crap, what just happened here? Now we have to blow the whistle and make sure he didn't check them. Like, that's what they had to go do. And my problem is, if you're going to spend all this time reviewing it, why can't you just call the foul on replay? Why can't you do that? That's my problem. The league rules are set up to give advantages to a player like that.
If that was Gordon Hayward and not Giannis, the foul would have been called on the floor. That's my point.
Agreed. I agree with you on that.
Okay. So they didn't. It's not that they didn't see it. They would have called a foul on any other player.
Okay,
they didn't call
it
on Giannis because he had five fouls.
Do you believe they call fouls on fouls they haven't really seen all that well based on who the player is? They do it all the time.
Maybe.
They miss things all the time.
But I'm not going to give them the
exactly
benefit of the doubt that they quote-unquote
didn't
reaction, see it.
They blow the whistle, but they're not going to do that on Giannis because he's a star. He's a superstar, and he's going to get the calls
this
his way.
This is where it could potentially hurt the Celtics when we talk about the lack of stardom on their team.
So my question is, can we just stop bitching about this? Can we listen, we know it's bad. The league is always deferential to their superstars. They want to keep their superstars in the game. Those guys will get away with more than anybody else on the floor. The possibility exists that these types of generous calls for superstars can impact the outcome of games. So you can get hosed in an NBA game. And by the way, do you think the Celtics would have won the game had Giannis fouled out? Is that clear? I don't think it's clear.
Yeah, because that was a basket and one on the charge. Well, no, not the first one. The second one was more actually had more to do with the outcome of the actual game.
Right, but I can't say definitively that I know the Celtics would have won the game.
I think they probably would have won.
I don't know that.
They would have had the best four players on the floor.
Well, they were fighting back all night. And so I think that that's something you're just going to have to get used to. Get used to it.
All right. Don't say anything.
You can say things, but
big
it's
call,
not new.
Big call failed.
Don't act surprised. Marcus Smart shouldn't be surprised. It's more of the same in this league. Superstars get the calls. I guess your hope should be that the Celtics have a guy who develops to that status.
I think they have to be over the top and say something. I think Marcus Smart needs to say something. I think Brad Stevens needs to. These guys have to lobby for calls for the playoffs. They have to start lobbying now for the possible Eastern Conference Finals.
Is Marcus Smart the guy you want doing the lobbying?
No, nope. I don't care. That's the guy. Right. Jim just mentioned it right now. It's Brad Stevens' time. You've been around here enough. You're years into this thing. You got a good team. Now it's time for him to start speaking up and making some noise with it.
Phone lines open. 617-779-0985 is the phone number for you. Thoughts on the Celtics and the Bruins from over the weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics by three. Clock rolling. 45 seconds to go as Tatum comes into the front court. Thumbs up with his right hand, dribbling with his left. Hounded by Lillard. Moving to his right. Shot clock already down to eight. Lillard goes for the steal. Tatum keeps it alive. Tatum starts a drive. Shovels to Jalen. Corner three. Ooh. Got it.
3 points. Celtics. Jalen Brown.
Man, them two young boys
timeout
right there.
Portland.
A beast.
Tatum kept Lillard at bay. Jalen Brown was waiting in the corner, and he made no mistake. His sixth three of the afternoon, and the Celtics lead by six with 31.8 to play.
Just to go back to the review on the play in the Celtics game from the Bucks game on Friday night. Jack, thank you for pointing us in the direction of the pool report from that game. The final question in the pool report, Jeff Zilgit, from USA Today, was the pool reporter. He asked him the final question to the official because the official, again, they kept talking about the hostile act after that. He said, just for clarification on the situation, why can't you review a foul on Giannis in that situation? And the referee from the game, James Capers, said this. Hostile act review does allow for a foul. Had I seen a foul and the contact had been more than incidental, then there would have been a foul on the play, but that did not occur.
Oh, my God.
Does that change your mind?
Oh, my, yeah. So... I hate the NBA.
Just get used to it. I just accept it for
when
what
I
it
say
is.
I hate the NBA. I hate their league and their officials.
Yeah.
And their not the sport. I don't hate the sport. I hate the league. I hate everything.
You
about
hate what's
the
tolerated.
League. It's just obnoxious. So you could have called the foul. I thought you couldn't have called the foul. So no, they could have called the foul. Had it been deemed more than incidental.
Oh, could they?
But that was deemed incidental contact.
Yeah, we could have called it, but Giannis had five. We weren't going to call it.
Yeah,
that's what he should have said.
Hey, we understand the circumstances that are here.
My understanding was that when they go to the reviews, they got to go back and see if it was something that was, again, beyond basketball. Well, apparently not.
Right.
Had he seen a foul, he would have called it. Get rid of review altogether. Just get rid of it. It was better without it. I don't need the review anymore.
I agree with that.
Forget it. Forget it. Real time, Marcus Smart should have been a charge. It wasn't, but at least we wouldn't then get insulted with the review.
Is that why they lost?
Like them? That's insulting to say that there was nothing there. That's obnoxious. It's so bad. Ah, brutal. What'd you make of the performances of Brown and Tatum yesterday?
Brown's pretty damn good.
Tatum was pretty damn good yesterday.
Better than Friday, which you knew he was going to come out pissed off.
He sucked on Friday.
Yeah. It was awful. One of the worst games he's ever played.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he owned it up immediately after the game.
So far,
I'd say. Can't play any worse.
I'd say mixed results from Jason Tatum so far. Mixed results.
Just be more consistent. Be the guy you were right before the break where you were just on that upward trend, man. And it's going to be hard for him to get ramped up. I think give his thing a week.
I'd say Friday night was a double bogey, and yesterday shot for par.
Oh, to put it in golf terms for Jason Tatum.
Does that make sense? Right? Is that good?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Well, Brad said they've been playing. Or Danny.
That's a monster game he had yesterday.
Huh?
That's a monster game he had. That's probably a birdie. That's par. Maybe. That's what you expect every game. That's a little much, I think.
Maybe he had attempts at eagles.
Well, what's his index? What's his handicap these days?
Yeah. I know Danny said he's been playing a ton. They've been playing a ton of golf down here.
I'm saying, you know.
Fun.
All right. We're giving him a birdie for yesterday?
Yeah.
Birdie's, I just don't think strong. You expect that every game, right? You expect a par every game?
Well, no.
I expect
him to be great because I think he is great.
Be a scratch guy every day. You don't have to be 5-under every. I don't expect that from him.
Well, you got to play it out.
Well, what'd you say on the golf
show? If that was a par yesterday, how many? What would his stat line look like for him to earn a birdie?
You got to get Tatum on a golf show. I'm telling you, that's where this thing's going.
Okay, what was the what hole was he on? You know, what was the how many strokes was par on this hole? No.
Well, you might be right. The opponent was the Blazers. It wasn't the Bucks. So maybe against the Bucks, that would have been a birdie. But against the Blazers, it's a par.
I think that's got to be factored in.
Right. Out of difficulty of the course. It's like he had 30. What did he have? 34 yesterday? 34 points yesterday.
Was he playing Bethpage Black yesterday?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just the one hole, but it was like the 18th handicap hole. You know, it was a 303-yard par four with no trouble. You know, big green.
Drive that hole.
Yeah.
Get a hold of one with a good wind.
So what'd you give him, a double bogey for Friday?
Yeah.
So he's plus two for the season. We got to keep track of this now.
We hope he makes the cut next game.
I'd give him a birdie.
You know what?
For yesterday.
When you put it in those terms, I'd say, yeah, that's fair.
He made the cut. He played well enough to make the cut.
He's one over. I'll give him a birdie for yesterday.
Turned it around round two, and he played well enough to make the cut to advance and get
every
a chance
performance.
To play
again. We're gonna grade it his game based on. You know, what he hit four on the hole?
I gotta check the number of games.
So he's one over on the season.
I'm sure
so
Josh
far.
On the TV side could come up with a little golf scorecard.
Yes,
with
little scorecard for Jason Tatum. Little scorecard. All right, that's fair. He birdied yesterday. He was double bogeyed on Friday night. He's one over on the season. That's good. That's fair. Mm. Eric in Winthrop. Hi, Eric.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Sub-Zone.
Huh.
So, Brad doesn't name captains. I think he should sit down and have a grown-up conversation with Marcus Smart and make him the captain. His work ethic and his balls put him in charge of this team. And I would rather have him in charge than Tatum or Brown or anybody else.
I don't think he has to do that.
I don't understand why you need to name one.
You don't. I think people defer to Marcus as your most important all-around player. He's your energy. He's your life. The other guys are much more talented than him. This thing plays itself out. Natural leadership, right? Just don't dictate it and say, hey, you're going to be the guy. Go lead this team. You don't need that right now. He's got a bunch of guys. So go into it with just a bunch of guys. Let them go out and play.
Who's that from?
Shaughnessy's.
I don't know.
Who is it?
I'm telling you, Mike is so hot in there.
617.
Oh, real quick, Hardy, you missed it. McCone tried to attempt to eat a jar of mayonnaise.
I talked to Beetle.
It's one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in my life.
One of you guys told me about it. I went back and I saw a bit of the video of it. He wasn't into it. No, to say that he failed would indicate that he made some kind of a real effort. I wouldn't even call that a real effort.
He hem-hawed it. Yeah.
You want to eat a couple teaspoons of
he wasn't feeling great.
No,
after.
I'm not even gonna play. I'm not even gonna play that hole.
Sorry, coming back up.
You got a triple bogey on that hole.
Take a hard pass on that. 617-779-0985. Let's get to the Red Sox weekend as well. That's not trending in the right direction either. That team. All right. We'll do that coming up. Here's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What's up? Now, sports talk while you're on the clock.
This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
To wear down.
Oh my goodness! Aaron Judge has done it again! Homers in five straight! Santa Maria!
Now, if you had told me that that call right there was from the local broadcast of Team X, Y, or Z, or that was the Yankees radio network.
Yeah, Sterling.
Matt Vasgersian on the call. No, that's Matt Vasgersian, ESPN, national call. Oh, way to call it down the middle, boss.
He's the cheesiest of all.
Holy crap.
Jesus.
No, I think he's pretty good.
You do? He's like, didn't he used to host Wipeout?
I don't know.
I think he hosted that show Wipeout at the beginning.
I don't think he brings the best, gets the best out of A-Rod, though. What's going on with A-Rod? He seems very quiet. What's up with that? Did you notice that?
Mic up a little bit or
did
something.
Did you notice that?
Fell
How
asleep.
Quiet he was last night?
He's doing a golf match.
Both in terms of volume of information and talking and volume on the TV. He just seemed really quiet and disengaged. A-Rod, wake up.
Maybe it's the
lack
of people in the seats.
That might be it.
I'm telling you, that's what I worry about. Lack of juice in the park.
Just feeling like this whole season is just circling the drain.
It's weird.
Is that part of it?
I think everybody feels weird right now. We're excited sports are back. We are. We're loving it. Sports are back.
All right, so we should start with this. It felt like the season might get canceled over the weekend. That was a real thing.
Yeah.
Cardinals players testing positive, and not only were they testing positive, there's a report that they were at a casino. And that's when you just throw your hands up and say, oh, what the hell?
So they go to a casino. The other ones went to the hotel bar, supposedly the Marlins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, all negative tests with their players today. Saw John Heyman tweeted that out about a half hour ago. So Marlins are clear. And then going back to when we got off air and the stuff with the commissioner of baseball, supposedly alerting networks to start getting another program ready potentially in 2 days. Like that could have been a thing. Like everybody's like, oh, crap, this season's over. This thing's going to explode. No, they're pushing through. Now they're back to surviving. Like, we're going to do this every week, aren't we? Which team's next?
If they're making trips to the casino, we will be.
Oh, sure.
And so that report was from, who was it that had that?
I'm sure the
Jerry Hairston.
Yeah.
Jerry Hairston Jr. Here's what he had. A few Marlins go to a club, and now hearing a few Cardinals went to a casino? That's not following protocols. MLB players are furious because 28 other teams have worked hard to follow the guidelines. By the way, he writes a few Marlins go to a club as if it's fact. I read over the weekend that MLB's investigation to this point has not found that they went to a club. They have found that they went downstairs to the hotel lobby's bar. To which you say, okay, that's not as bad as going to a club. It's still against protocol, but
it's not as bad. But where the hell is your manager? Where the hell is your GM? Where the hell is your security that are helping you to maybe make the right decision when you come out of your room? And if you're staying on a floor, it's a secure floor.
So they're allowed to leave their room, though.
I know that.
No, but that's part of this new thing, right? The new thing Manfred said over the weekend is every team has to have a compliance officer now.
Correct.
With the teams, though. So they never had that in place.
Listen, if you go to a nightclub, right, in Miami, you're saying, what are you doing? You know, you've got a season to play. You can't be doing that. If you go downstairs to a hotel lobby bar where you know how things are sort of set up now, tables, you got to sit at a table.
Yeah.
You got to, be 6 feet. If they sit down at the hotel lobby bar.
What's wrong with going there as opposed
to
the restaurant?
I don't want to kill a guy for that. Like,
no.
You probably shouldn't be doing that, but if that's what it was.
Was it just them? Was it packed with other people? There's all these scenarios you have to figure out, though.
Of course.
What was happening in there?
Of course. That's what they're looking into.
Somebody brought the virus in.
I mean, just saying on the surface, until we know more, they're going to figure it out. It doesn't sound like they were out partying at a nightclub. That's not what happened there. They went to the hotel lobby and picked it up.
Unless it became a nightclub scene at the hotel bar with people from the outside coming in.
Sure.
We don't know that.
Sure, we don't know that. You're right.
See, that's what's different with the NFL. The NFL already put out their guidelines for travel for teams. and the spacing. It's going to be on buses. Spacing, it will be on planes. The inability to leave a hotel, to use a Lyft, to use an Uber, to use a taxi. You will not be in the restaurant downstairs. You will not be in the bar downstairs. And that goes for all the team and their traveling staff.
So the Red Sox are...
You're going to be quarantined to your room.
The Red Sox are now in Tampa, and they have a day off. And they now have an entire day. And Ron Renicki said that he's a little bit concerned about what these guys are going to do on their day off in Tampa.
Go play golf. Drive around. Let's go to the beach. Let's go get something to eat down on the beach.
And he said, you don't want to tell them to stay in their hotel rooms. Like, that's sort of, you can't do it.
Why can't you?
I mean, you can tell them, but they don't have to listen to you. There's nothing that requires them to stay there.
Hey, guys, just look at everything else that's going on in this league.
But he did mention that he told them not to use the pool, the outdoor pool at the hotel.
Don't go outside.
To which I'm thinking to myself.
What?
I don't think I'd actually think that'd be the best option for them.
I'd say, guys, go have lunch down at the pool outside.
Go outside, and yes, go to the pool. Go there.
Oh, by the way, we talked to the hotel.
Go there
and
take the pool over.
We have half the pool roped off for you.
That to me is like the best option for them. Don't have them leaving. Yeah, go to the pool.
We're paying so much money to stay here with all the meals and the meetings. And all the rooms we've acquired, that they're actually going to hold a section aside for you if you want to use the pool and eat there. Why do you not plan this ahead? That's easy. Oh, day off in Tampa. Well, we don't want them running around a city in Florida that is a hot spot. Give them the option to just go eat at a beach cafe. Oh.
But it felt like over the weekend there was a chance that baseball was going to maybe crumble. And we heard reports that the league had been in touch with their television partners, ESPN, et cetera, letting them know that they should start coming up with alternative programming for if their season ended. And when you hear things like that,
that means they're talking about it.
This thing's teetering. Yeah. This is teetering. Rob Manfred then came out and had a few things to say. And the thing that stuck out is he said players need to be better, right? So he blamed it on the players. But he also had this weird comment about not being a quitter. Commissioner said, we are playing. The players need to be better, but I am not a quitter in general, and there is no reason to quit now. We have to be fluid, but it is manageable. Okay. If the season does have to come to an end at some point, will it be because you're a quitter?
No, it's the wrong terminology. It's the wrong attitude.
I understand what he's trying to say.
I'm not a quitter.
It's the wrong guy. He quit on the pitch clock. He quits on everything he does. He never follows through with anything.
That's true. He is a big-time quitter, number one.
Through with the threat to cancel the season. The next day he came out and said, no, we're going to do it. We're going to play. He backed off that in 2 seconds.
Right. That's what it is. I'm not a quitter. That's why it's not happening? I'm not a quitter is the reason why you decided
Rob
to
Manfred,
keep the season going?
He digs in on everything. Like, he really digs in on every issue.
How did I'm not a quitter get higher up on the list than we believe this is a manageable situation? Shouldn't that be the lead, Rob? Well, we believe it's still a manageable situation. We're going to deal with the teams that have had outbreaks, and we're going to try to continue to find ways to not have this happen. We're going to continue to manage this. We believe it's manageable. I'm not a quitter. That's a real NFL-type statement that he made.
Yeah.
And he's full of crap because, as we know, he's completely... as Jim said, he quits on everything. I'm not a quitter.
I understand what he's trying to say, though.
What does that have to do with anything?
Like, we're doing everything we can to play. Make sure we attempt to play.
But the way you phrased it is so much better. And it's something that I think other sports should do a little bit more of, which is let's manage the situation as opposed to just walking away from the player or walking away from the situation. Or, you know what? Let's see if we can manage this thing. And this is the ultimate management scenario here. We need to manage this situation. No way. We're not going to quit. You going to change anything? Nope, but we're not quitting. No, you need to change some things. You need to manage it. You need to focus your energies and get some guys to maybe get on board with some protocol that they weren't on board with before. It's not quitting. It's a matter of doing it differently and doing it better.
But MLB did find that the Marlins were very lapsed in following safety protocols beyond just wherever they were. Okay. Congregating in the hotel bar is definitely a part of that, but they were very lapsed otherwise in following rules.
Hey.
So this thing goes beyond just whatever they were doing at the hotel bar. The Cardinals may have gone to a casino. I mean, I get why he's saying the players should be better. I understand that. But I think they've got to come to some sort of agreement on again, staying in hotels.
Yeah. I'm sure the casino chips are very disinfected. I'm sure they wash them every time.
Otherwise, it's just not going to work at all.
No. How many times you get those $100, maybe those $1,000 chips in your hand, you just
never had one of those.
Move them around, baby, and get a little nervous, put them in your pocket, rub them.
Maybe they're having a video poker tournament or something. Those things that you just can't, go willy-nilly. You have to be there.
Is that a great question? There. Like, in the casinos, I guess the chips are, you use chips, right? You have to. Can't be virtual.
I'm sure they're all disinfected and whatnot.
Yeah. I'd keep the chips. I just keep them stacked in my room. Look at them.
Stacked in your room for what?
Because I'm going to lose them the next day. I just look at them, take pictures of them, because I'm not going to keep them.
Let's get to Ron Renicki over the weekend. He had himself a weekend. I wonder at what point he's going to decide to manage the Boston Red Sox. Someone should tell him he is the manager.
Oh.
Hey, Skip, you're in charge now. You call the shots. He had a really quote of the year over the weekend. Quote of the year. I don't know that we'll get one better than this from Ron Renicki. And it was on Ryan Weber. You've got to hear this. I'm going to read you this quote, and you're saying, what's wrong with this guy? What are you doing? We'll get to that coming up, and your thoughts on the Red Sox getting swept by the Yankees. And last night sucked. They thought they were going to pull one out there to avoid getting swept, and they didn't. We'll get to that, too. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Up. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To wear down.
Oh my goodness! Aaron Judge has done it again! Homers in five straight! Santa Maria!
Now, if you had told me that call right there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.